when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I would like to thank you for holding on and putting up with all the technical difficulties. A lot of it, probably just about all of it, my fault. I don't know how I can screw things up so bad, but I always find a way to screw things up and lose wires and things like that. But anyway, we're back, and I'd like to thank you for holding on. And I'd also like to thank our entire crew of Liberty News. We got her dad, we got Miss Teenage America, a.k.a. Miss Lizzie Owen. Her dad, Jay, he is such a wonderful person. He keeps us going. What the things they do, I'll never know. I mean, they were sitting here. I was watching my computer, all kinds of hands and lights go across. But they fixed my computer while I'm sitting here doing a show. They did it remotely. How in the hell they do that? I'll never, ever, ever know. But the point is, I'm just a small gear in this huge transmission of Blood River Radio. And also, I'd like to thank our family out there for keeping us on. And I would like to give an extra big thanks to the people that come on, like Will, who was on with me the first hour, like Jason Robb, who's on, and like Paul Fromm. These people come on year in, day in, day out, year in, year out. And we can't pay them anything, and they're always coming here. They're the ones that make this program. All I do is I go out there. I'm kind of like an athletic director. I try to hire the best coach I can find. And then the coach, I kind of help him go out and recruit the best darkies we can find, the biggest, fastest darkies we can find. So I guess we got darkies on the. I'm not saying we got darkies on, but listen, we got great people, and I'd like to thank y'all. I'd like to thank you, Paul, and you, Jason, and you, Will. I'd like to thank y'all for coming out and just making this program what it is, because that's all I do. I'm just a talent scout. I'm a talent scout. I try to put this together. I try to get out of everybody's way. And let the people, the experts, do their thing. And with that, you know what? I'm going to bring in, introduce Paul and Jason. Jason, why don't you introduce Paul right quick? Like, even though everybody knows him, give him a quick bio of Paul. I know he's been in the fight longer than I have. Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, well, I'll definitely going to introduce him. But first, I want to say I'm still waiting for my check. You know, Eddie, we've been doing the show for a long time. And I'm still waiting for my check, and you keep on saying it's in the mail. And so I'm still waiting for that. So.
Well, you know, the mail is slow now. It's really, really, really slow.
Eddie mailed the check in Canada. And we have a postal strike now. So that's where your check is, Jason. That's somewhere between. Between Niagara Falls and Harrison, Arkansas.
That's right. That's why I mailed it there, because I guess be a what's that they call it? I'll call it something else. What is that? There's a doubt. It's a legal term. Plausible denial. Yeah, I have plausible denial because I sent it. I got a cheaper rate by sending it through Canada. I didn't know they were on strike up there, but the Eskimos, I think it's the damn Eskimos that are causing all the hell up there. But anyway, hey, Jason and Paul, I sent y'all some stuff. Did y'all get that stuff I sent y'all on your file? I sent y'all some stuff. But me and Will talked about some of them in the first hour, but there's so many dynamite things going on. Paul, I don't know if you got it or not. I bet you did, Jason.
I did get it, and I'm going to say real quick, because I said I would introduce Paul Fromm. I know everyone knows who Paul Fromm is, and obviously there's a lot of people that comes on and tunes into the show that probably has never heard Paul Fromm, or maybe even you, Eddie, because there's there's always people out there searching for the truth, and they come across Blood River Radio. Someone may have told them about it, and so Paul Fromm, he's from Canada. He's a lifelong white nationalist in Canada. He is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, a very much a vocal evangelist, patriot for Canada, for white rights. He's a former school teacher. So this is a person who's very intellectual, who's been around for decades, and probably is almost as long as my dad. My dad is 79 years old, and he's been involved since the mid and late 50s. And so I know Paul Fromm is right around that time period. And so Paul Fromm is definitely an activist. I get his newsletter every month.
Yes.
And I'm always impressed. The stuff that they're doing up there in Canada, the activity that they're doing, the protests, the newsletters he does, the recordings. He's not only on Blood River Radio, he's also on White Pride Radio for us with an ICE party. And then he's also does other programs and writes articles. You always tell Eddie about me saying, well, how do you find the sleep? How do you find time to sleep? And I'm always thinking, how does Paul Fromm find time to sleep? I mean, he is always doing something. And so Paul Fromm is just a wonderful, wonderful person and really a leader in the white nationalist movement. And so people who may have never heard of him before, who's like this first time maybe listening to Blood River Radio, they really need to get in touch with Paul Fromm, and especially if they're in Canada, they need to get a hold of him and be participant of his activities, as well as helping support the Canadian movement up there, because of the fact that we talk about all the things that's going on in the United States, and Canada is having a lot more problems than the United States. It's just basically being censored. Whenever we talk about the problems and issues we see in the United States, Canada is several years ahead of us as far as those issues.
Yes, before I even got into radio, I remember I started gravitating toward radio when James Edwards, and we found each other and got into political. We were supporting political candidates here in West Tennessee. Of course, our candidates always lost. But that's before even TPC got started, and I knew about Paul then. I knew about Paul. James knew about him. Other people in our movement, a lot of them are passed on now. A Dr. Crowder, who was a dentist here in Memphis, and we used to have political meetings with him. He knew all about Paul Fromm. So Paul's been around, for a long time. I didn't start getting in the movement, and I guess you'd call the mainstream, until about a little bit, 25 years ago. Now, I did fight in the streets. I guess that's not legitimate. I had to survive, even when I was a kid, in the streets of South Memphis. But he's still going strong. He's still going strong. That's for dang, I'm sure. And with that, I sent y'all some articles, I believe. One of them, I've sent so many. We were talking about earlier, we didn't get to cover the whole thing about this military strategy expert in the UK by the name of David Betts. Of course, he's a Jew, but this white rights activist in England by the name of Nick Griffin. I talked about him, how he's predicting. He said, it might happen, but he said the civil war, y'all, in the UK within the next 5 years is a certainty. So I don't know if I sent y'all that article or not, but would you like to take up? I know you're more tech savvy than me or Paul, either one, Jason, so that's why I'll ask you to see if you'd like to comment on that, one of those articles I sent you, or anything else y'all would like to talk about.
Yeah, no, that article that you sent was, definitely about the pending civil war in London and England. And I think it is a matter of time. It's simple numbers. Whenever when you're importing the third world non-whites into a white country, and it goes back to population replacement. It's not theory, it's reality. And whenever you are bringing in non-whites, Muslims, blacks, Arabs, into a traditional Christian white country, and that's what England was, then you're going to have conflict. And what we are seeing is we're just seeing the result of that. And, of course, Paul Fromm, you know, can explain a lot more about the Calgary plan, but it's a design to import non-whites into your white Western countries in order to make it a non-Christian and non-white Europe. And London is just a reflection of that. And so you have the native white people there are now basically being held hostage. And so now they're suffering from crime. They're suffering from their women being raped. They're suffering from everything that we see what's going on in the United States.
I hear the music. So I'm going to come back. We'll talk about the Calergic Plan when we come back. Well, we have the Calergic Plan pamphlets. We can get to people who would like to get one. And it's Paul Fromm was the one that developed that. Be right back, folks, in just a few minutes.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with managed IT services.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you magnificent.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for continuing to listen to us and to support us, and thank you for being here. If you will, people, just one quick thing. We have, we talked about, Jason brought up a book called The Calergic Plan. That book was authored by our the great and one and only Paul Fromm, who's on the air right now. And we still have a supply of those left. I'm sure Paul does. But we still have a supply of those left. If you'd like a copy, get in touch with me. And it'd be great if you could send us a donation. $10 will get you one. I forgot how much it costs to send through the mail. I think $4 or $5. But every little dollar counts. If you would love to get you one, it's a great booklet. Give me an order through Eddie at BloodRiverRadio.com. And briefly, I'd just like to make this comment. If you would like to see the Calergy Plan come to fruition, just watch an NFL football game. Watch a, what do they call that? That's right. That in the NBA, the National Basketball, with the NBA, National Basketball Association, watch an NBA basketball game, watch an NFL football game, and you will see the Calergy Plan, that was their end goal, and they did it. They put these blacks in there to elevate them and to make them millionaires so they could breed with these white women. So I'm going to shut up. Since you authored that, Paul, why don't you break a few comments about that?
Yeah, I'd like to say something about basketball. Canada invented it, believe it or not. And when it was invented in southwestern Ontario, sometime in the 19th century, the players were, of course, all white people, mostly British. Well, as you say, just take a look at the basketball game today, and that's not what it is. No, the Kalergi plan was developed by an Austro-Hungarian aristocrat named Richard Count Coudenhove Kalergi. Anyway, the First World War was a tremendous shake-up for European civilization. It caused untold destruction and brought about revolution. It replaced the Russian monarchy, the German monarchy, and replaced in Russia with a Jewish-led communist government revolution. So a lot of things were in flux. A lot of people who gone to war being very idealistic and thinking the war would be over, you know, in a couple of months, and they'd come back covered with glory and medals. But that's not the way it worked out. And so the generation in the 1920s was very cynical, looking for new things. And unfortunately, that's where the Kalergi inserted his grand plan. And that was to create the new European man, who was going to be a mix of Asian and African. And there would be a new Jewish moral, a new moral elite, and they'd be Jews. Now, because he had massive backing from the Rothschilds, you know, this crock of nonsense, Hitler called that, he called it nonsense. He also referred to Kalergi as a vagabond, along with other terms. And, you know, it should have attracted nobody, but it did. It attracted a lot of people. And it became sort of the plan. Its first stage was the European Common Market or the European Union after the Second World War. And superficially, you know, it might make some sense, reduce some of the tariff barriers and maybe some of the barriers of traveling between countries. Okay, but the real game plan, this was just stage one. The game plan was the racial replacement of the European people, and he's quite clear about that. That he wanted a situation where there'd be no more Italians, no more Germans, no more French, no more British, and we'd be replaced by basically a much mongrel population. Now, I don't read German very well, but what I have read, I'm not sure he actually says in Practical Idealism, that's the book he wrote in 1922 outlining this, or in German, Praktischer Idealismus. I don't think he ever exactly spelled out how you would get this new mixed-race European man. Because in 1922, non-whites would have constituted under 1% of the European population. Well, of course, we began to find out after the Second World War, as country after country brought in large numbers of third worlders, initially as they call them guest workers, and you know, since the 70s, it's just been an invasion. And the goal was our replacement, and that's of course exactly what the scumbag leaders we have in North America are doing. They're onto the Kalergi plan as well. The Immigration Act of 1965 in the United States opened the doors to the Third World, even though one of the major proponents, Senator Edward Kennedy, who was then a young upstart from New York, promised, oh, no, it was not going, it was just going to allow in a few highly qualified people from the Third World, and it wouldn't change the racial balance. Well, of course, that was a lie, and he remained loyal to that goal, the goal of the massive third world immigration, until he died of brain cancer. And by that time, that's about 10 years ago, it was obvious that the Americans are being replaced. You'll be a minority by sometime in the 2040s. And we in Canada, we started off better than you because we had hardly any Negroes. We had a very small smattering of Orientals and East Indians, but we were far better than you. We were about 99% white in 1960. You were 90%. Well, now we're down to 78%, but no cause for cheering. They're just pouring in. And it's right before our eyes, we're being replaced. And it's not an accident. We didn't lose a war and the Third World took over. No. We've been betrayed from the very top. Not just some scallywag politicians, but big businesses. Yeah, you know, the advertising in your country and my country, you'd hardly think there was a single white person there. Or if there is, he's a dummy. Some dummy who has to be set right by some bright black who'll tell him how to invest in the market. The big corporations, or many of them, are utterly sold on the idea of getting rid of us.
Paul, you know what? Also, we have a fellow on the air who wrote a book. Jason Robb wrote a book called, and this fits right in with what you just got through saying about the clergy plans that you wrote. Jason wrote this book called Dark Medicine. And I'll tell you what, before I turn it over to Jason, if you go to the VA, as you know, the cardiology department, just in the past couple of years, has completely taken over by Indians. And I'm thinking, where do the white people go? The VA hospital is, I guarantee you, here in Memphis, Tennessee, is like 99% non-white. All the bean counters and the pencil sharpeners are all black. The doctors you have that are white are like the residents coming through there, the cardiology residents, something. But the people, the doctors that run the show right now are freaking Indians. But anyway, Jason, tell them a little bit about that book that you wrote about dark medicine, because if you want to, because I think it cooks up perfectly with the clergy plan.
Yeah, I mean, the whole basis, you know, even what Paul is talking about, you know, the whole basis is diluting, you know, the white race, the white population, and that even pours into different associations, different parts of our society, and one part of that is your medical field. And in the United States, in the medical field, the standards, which I show in the book Dark Medicine, the standards for white applicants in your medical schools are totally different from black applicants and non-whites. And so black applicants, when they take the medical entrance exam, their scores are automatically lowered in order to bring more of a diverse medical establishment for medical fields and doctors. And so the whole idea is that the standards have even been lowered. And in the book shows how the white applicants, they are being denied. And so our brightest population, which traditionally has always been white people. That's why white people has always built beautiful cultures and beautiful countries, because of the fact that we have always had high standards, and our culture and heritage is a product of that. And so our medical fields are the you know, yes, there's white doctors that are being still admitted to medical schools and becoming doctors and stuff like that, but statistically, the average education level to get into medical schools and the degrees have always been shifted to bring in more non-whites, and again, that lowers the standards. Some medical schools don't even require that you pass the medical examinations to get in, just as long as you have a decent GPA and you fit the box of being a non-white, then you're allowed to get into the medical schools just because you fit that criteria. And so that book just basically is an example of just our medical field that's been diluted by this program.
And you know what? And when we come back to this place, it'll be a long break. It's about 4 minutes. People got plenty of time for coffee, use restroom, whatever. We have a few of those books left, too. If you'd like to get a copy of Dark Medicine or the Clergy Plan, just get in touch with me, Eddie at BloodRiverRadio.com. And we'll send you one. Be right back, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. President Trump will deploy troops to Portland, Oregon.
Trump said he's authorizing full force if necessary to handle what he's calling domestic terrorists. The ICE facility in Portland has been the target of frequent demonstrations, sometimes leading to violent clashes. Some federal agents have been injured, and several protesters have been charged with assault. Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
Sinclair Broadcasting is returning Jimmy Kimmel live to its ABC stations.
The statement read, quote, "Our objective throughout this process has been to ensure that programming remains accurate and engaging for the widest possible audience. We take seriously our responsibility as local broadcasters to provide programming that serves the interests of our communities while also honoring our obligations to air national network programming." It was pressure from station owners Sinclair and Nexstar that initially forced Disney to take Kimmel's show off the air. Bernie Bennett reporting.
New census data refutes the claim that America is systematically racist. Correspondent Ken Lorman crunches the numbers.
The statistics come from the new Census Bureau report on household incomes. It shows a rapid rise in incomes for Asian and Hispanic households over the past year, which continues a positive trend that dates back to the early 1980s. In fact, one statistic indicates that Asian households now make on average $120,000 a year, or one-third more income than white households do.
The report also discovered the immigrants now make almost as much money as native-born Americans. The clock is ticking on a government shutdown, and the White House says there may be mass firings if it happens. Congress has just 3 days left to agree on a stopgap bill to keep the government fully funded past this coming Tuesday. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6745. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6745. That's 800-575-6745. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
This is Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party, based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I thank you so much for hanging out. I was going to talk about something, but Paul asked me a question during the break. You know how we are on the river? We do stuff fly by the seat of our chance, change on a dime. But Paul asked a question. He said, when is the National Guard going to come to Memphrica and help straighten out some of these troubled chillings here in Memphrica? They just, you know, they can't help themselves.
These feral young Negroes.
Yes, but they're trouble though, Paul. They need a lot of our sympathy and understanding. They have problems, man. They really do.
Do they really?
Oh, by the way, then this is a rabbit trail.
I think Eddie's become a liberal.
Well, yeah. I had a guy the other day tell me that everybody's mama is woke talking about the black problem now. The Blood River Radio is not the only one. And they said, hell, people are going to start calling me a cuck. They said, because we're not hard enough on them, man. So we're going to have to turn the damn heat up, man. You know, we're not radical enough. But, you know, the guard coming here, I think that, and I'm going to throw this out there to y'all. I was talking with this to Don Wassel last week, and I said, you know, about the coming Civil War and everything. And of course, we all have got our own opinions. Don doesn't think so. He thinks the government's going to be able to handle it and everything. But I think, to me, the National Guard, Paul and Jason, coming to all these different cities, if that's not a red flag saying that the country slash the government slash society is totally out of control and burning down. If you have to send the military in because our dark, no, get this now, we have a nigger police chief, a nig city mayor, a nig county mayor, a nig superintendent of schools, a nig city council, and yet when something goes wrong, I swear to God, y'all, I'm not kidding you, they blame it on white superior or white supremacy and racism. It's all black police department. But that shows y'all that just the fact you got to send the damn military into cities like that, and because the feral black police departments will not do their job. Is that not a sign that society's completely failing? The government's completely failing? What about that, Jason?
Well, I mean, that's just a representation of you know, a third world country. I mean, so I mean, all your major cities are third world countries. And so, like you said, they're all governed, the mayors, the police officers, or police chiefs, I should say, all administrative, the city councils. I mean, they're all blacks. And that's a representation of a third world country. That's why it's not safe. So, yeah, bringing the troops in is basically where you're bringing law and order. And that has always been a representation of a white culture, is law and order. And so when Donald Trump says, I'm bringing the troops into these major cities, it basically be the same as him saying, I'm bringing the troops into Africa to bring law and order. And so that's what he's doing with Memphis and you know, Chicago and Washington, D.C. He's not sending troops into your white areas. He's only sending troops into your black areas, non-whites, because again, law and order. And it's an excellent point, because that just shows it is the breakup of a Western country, and that's what the United States was, the Western country, and it's just a breakdown of it. And so when you're bringing troops in to bring in law and order, that is a representation of the breakup. And so when in Donald Trump, you know, as we all know, even at this recent UN, he was blasting Europe, England, and all these other countries, saying, "You got to stop this invasion from your third world countries. They're literally, you're basically destroying your countries, your Western society," and that's refreshing to actually hear him saying that. And Carolyn Leavitt, who is the press secretary, basically had mentioned a couple days ago that every European country has a right to preserve their culture and their heritage. And so that's refreshing to see. And so when he's talking about that, not in Europe, but then also here in the United States, millions of white people are listening to that, and they're starting to connect the dots, saying, oh, he's bringing troops into these major cities. These major cities are non-whites, and we need to bring in law and order. And so that's all a benefit to us. I mean, we see the downfall of the breakup of the United States and Western Europe, but it's also a benefit because it is causing our people to start thinking of themselves racially. And that is something I think we have all been fighting for decades, is for our people, the average person out there, to start thinking of themselves as a race, and the white people, a culture and heritage that's worth to preserve and to fight for it. And so I think that's a good thing, because, you know, when you see something right in your face being destroyed, there's no quicker way to stir the masses up. And so bringing troops in is right in your face saying, bring a law and order in. But I agree. I think it is a telling of the times of the breakup of this country. And it's just, that's one representation of it.
I heard that speech too. And it was marvelous. Diplomats usually talk in very flowery and vague terms so as not to offend people, and you have to read between the lines and all that. Trump gave what you might almost call a stump speech, clear English, and he must have had them just on the verge of heart attacks. He dropped so many truth bombs in there. I mean, just telling them, you are destroying your economies with your belief in this climate change hoax and nonsense. Stop it. And you are destroying your countries by uncontrolled immigration. I mean, I couldn't have said it any more succinctly or directly. But I agree with Jason's comments, but it was interesting how it was reported in Canada's National Post. Now, that's a very conservative but completely Jewish-dominated 110% Israel Firster paper. On other things, it's really pretty good. Anyway, the report on Trump's speech, nothing about climate change or race. It was all about how Trump lambasted certain Western countries like Canada, Britain, France, and Australia for recognizing Palestine. And if you had no other sources of information and you relied on the National Post, you would have thought Trump's speech was all about Jews. And that is the Jewish mindset. It's all about us. But it just bears out what Trump, and it's not original with him, calls the fake news media. What they don't tell you, it's not just the lies they tell you, but it's what they don't tell you, what they suppress. So many people are confused and misinformed.
You know, Paul, this article, a fellow has asked me to ask y'all a question, who was on earlier. If you look around, according to this article I read from the America Free Press, the military strategy expert guy who said that it's not if, but it's when. He said that the Civil War is going to come to the UK and probably the entire West. And he said that approximately 75% of post-Cold War civil conflicts have been fought by ethnic factions. He said, therefore, that civil war in the West will it'll be unexceptional, but it's going to be, ethnicities and religious sects. But this guy who left, he wanted me to ask y'all this question, this guy being Will Franklin. He said, I want to ask Paul and Jason their opinion on a 5-year timeline on the English Civil War. Also, do they have a timeline for here in America or Canada. What do you have to say about that, Paul? What do you predict? I mean, he's saying that, we talked about this a week or so ago. Elon Musk said that he said violence is coming your way, whether you want it or not. And this fellow here, this military expert who's with the West Point of England, our West Point to us, their West, their war college, et cetera, he's saying it's coming. What do you have to say about that, Paul? And then we'll bounce it over to Jason.
Well, I don't know about the time projection. I don't have an opinion on that. But I can see that it
We got to go to a break, Paul. We got to go to a quick break. Be right back. I'm sorry to have to interrupt you. Be right back in a few minutes.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
God, I love that guerrilla general. The guerrilla general, he's like me. He ain't got much edumacation. But I tell you what, we sure know how to fix a damn bayonet. We know how to pull a trigger. Anyway, with that, we're going to go back to the people who do have the edumacation. And that is my brother, Paul. Paul Fromm, who's about as educated as anybody I know. So go ahead, Paul, and expand upon that question that I asked you, that Will Franklin wanted me to ask you and Jason.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to set a date on it, but I can see things moving fast. In the great days of the National Front in the 70s and the British National Party in the 90s, they had street protests, but I don't think they ever pulled more than 10,000 people. I may be wrong, but last weekend there were over 100,000 people in London, and you saw the pictures, sidewalk to sidewalk, and a sea of Union Jacks. That's the British flag. Now you might say, that's okay. That's the flag of the country. No, recently, the police and the left have been saying it's a provocation to fly the national flag. Well, there they were in the tens of thousands. And that wasn't the only protest. That was London. That was the big one. But there were others in other cities. I think there's a great poem by Kipling, "When the Saxon Learns to Hate." And the idea is
yes,
the Anglo-Saxon is slow to anger. He's you know, has a calm disposition. He's not like a Latino, and nothing wrong with Latinos. You know, quick to anger, but watch out. Watch out when you push him too far, and because he's going to get really mean. And I'm hoping, after years of wimpishness and accommodation and apathy, that the British people in large numbers have finally had it with the Third World Invasion and the Islamization of their country. You know, the leader of the so-called Conservative Party is a non-white from Ghana, I think. No, Nigeria. The Lord Mayor of London, the mayor of the largest city in the UK, is a Muslim. And many other British cities the same.
Yes.
It's right before their eyes. They're being replaced. They've been taken over. And again, by the treachery, the utter soulless scumbag treachery of their leaders. And now people, there was even a woman with cancer. The police knocked on her door and said that she would have to come down to the police station and answer for comments she made on Facebook, critical of immigration. I mean, the British police, the kindly neighborhood bobby, is being replaced by basically a politically correct thug who would not have been out of place in the old Soviet Union.
You know, Jason, to take off on what Paul said and ask you a question, the British Home Secretary is a Muslim woman, and she said, for the 1 million women, white women, who have been raped, that's at the rate of about 67,000 white women a year raped in England for the past 15 years, she said, you know what she said? She said that was their fault. It was the white women's fault. Wow, I don't know. And she also said this, Jason. She said, this is the British Home Secretary, mind you. She said that merely bringing up rape gangs and grooming gangs being led by Muslims, she said that is hate speech. And there's been a resolution passed saying that is Islamophobic hate speech. But with that comment, continue on, if you will, Jason, on just what we talked about the Civil War thing and about this Islamization. Go ahead.
I agree with Paul. I mean, it's hard to say a time period. I mean, I think we're in the Civil War now. It's not the extreme of it, but we see the Civil War through the population replacement. We see the Civil War with the white women being raped, with the unknown numbers of white people are they being murdered and robbed there by non-whites. And so that we're already in a civil war, and they're in civil war there now. It's just not the extreme of it. But we're seeing the people there that's realizing that their leaders have betrayed them. There has been people that's come in and they have conquered their nation without even firing a single bullet, by just allowing this massive amount of populations from your third world countries coming in. And so you have these leaders like Khan, who's the mayor of London, and this lady you're talking about, the foreign ministry. I mean, they have no loyalty to the white native population. Their loyalty is for the non-whites, the Muslims, to replace England. That's where their loyalty. And basically for her to make those statements that Islamophobia and all that is another word of saying, well, you're a racist, so you need to shut up. And you're the problem. The same thing that we see here in the United States, same in Canada. It's just another form of just, well, you're just a racist, you're a bigot, you're a hater, you're a Nazi, you're a Klansman. All the bad words that they want to call at us, they want to throw it out there so our people can just shut up. And that's the only reason. And our people are realizing they're not shutting up. That's why Paul said, you know, you see 100,000 white citizens protesting. That's huge. And that's happening in other parts. That's happening in other parts of England. You look in Ireland, they're doing the exact same thing. You have the white population that is starting to galvanize and starting to rise up because they see the mass amount of immigrants coming into Ireland. So our people are starting to waken up. They are starting to think that because they're literally being killed and they're being destroyed on the street. That's why they're waking up. It's not per se the policies, which in fact it is, but more importantly, they physically can see it in front of their face. They're being attacked, killed, their women are being raped, and so they don't care about the words anymore. They are literally, they're fighting for their lives.
Amen. And I was going to ask, I was going to make this quick comment. I'm going to make two quick comments. We're almost out of time. I think they're huge. The point was made by this journalist I saw, was listening to a podcast from England. He said that since 1974, that's a long time, folks, the British people in every single election have voted to stop immigration. It's not worked. So I submit to you what Thomas has said, the voting is not working. We have to do something. Yes, these suckers in the government have to be replaced. But I'm going to add this comment here. I don't know if y'all saw Tucker Carlson's speech. I was going to get this earlier. I got myself confused. I've been told he's in a stadium holds about 100,000 people. And to about how many people worldwide, the speech went out to millions and millions worldwide. He talked about, you talk about balls of steel. Tucker Carlson's up there, and he said, talking about his friend Charlie Kirk being assassinated. He said 2,000 years ago, our Savior, Jesus Christ, I'm paraphrasing, was murdered by a group of people because he wouldn't shut up. He kept preaching the gospel. He wouldn't shut up. So these people had to kill him. We all know who these people were. He fast forwarded into the future, according to the, I didn't hear the speech, I heard the other people talking on this podcast, that fast forward to nowadays, a group of people, like the same people, murdered Charlie Kirk because he wouldn't shut up. I mean, this guy was singling out the Jews. I agree with the podcasters. I think Will was one of them. Said he was, what he's saying in code, it doesn't take, you don't have to be a code specialist to decode it. He's saying the same stinking Jews that killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he wouldn't shut up, they killed Charlie Kirk because he wouldn't shut up. What do you think about that, Paul?
People are speaking up, I think things are really accelerating because of that. And they're calling out, in many cases, the right people. I'm quite encouraged by some of the trends.
Well, it took guts.
Jason mentioned Ireland, yeah. And the tragic thing there is the Irish took 400 years to get their independence, largely from Britain. And I'm not taking sides, loyalist or Republican, but that was a fact. They gained their independence in 1922, and they have been invaded by the Third World. What they managed to wrest from the British, they have lost because of traitors at the very top. In fact, the party that most did this was the party that was more or less the political wing of the Irish Republican Party, and their second last prime minister was a Hindu homosexual.
My God!
The people who fought for Irish independence, they would eat their handguns. I mean,
yes,
the betrayal. I mean, we have been betrayed throughout throughout the European world and North America and South America. North America and Australia and New Zealand and South Africa. I'm going to throw it to you.
Two comments. I'll say Jewish money probably bribed those people, Jewish money and blackmail. And secondly, it took incredible courage for Tucker Carlson to say that. I would say he put a target on his chest by saying that. In fact, he did. I want to go research it. Well, guys, we have run completely out of time. Thank you, men, so much for coming on. I'll stay in contact with y'all, and please do the same with me. We got to transition out of the third hour. We're going to pick up the bitter ender, still bitter, more bitter than ever, the bitter ender, Gene Andrews. Be right back, folks. Get your cup of coffee. You got about 5 minutes, but don't be late coming back.